We're talking with Greg Swadock, who was one of the organizers and arrestees at the recent Extinction Rebellion event in New York City. Many of us felt he was deserving of the Academy Award for the best acted death in front of the stock exchange, right down there on the fence, quite spectacular. And in fact, the last time I saw you at Extinction Rebellion event, you were crawling out on the statue over at the Rockefeller skating rink, Rockefeller Plaza, and I thought you were going to fall at least six different times, but you managed to get that banner up. So you seem to be a natural at these die-ins and protests. What attracts you to Extinction Rebellion and nonviolence disobedience?
Well, the fact that we're going extinct, the fact that we have a crisis of unimaginable magnitude here, and we need all hands on deck. So, but then you could still go to any number of organizations. I thought that Extinction Rebellion had the right strategy, had the right theory of change, that this is a rebellion. This is, nothing else has worked. You know, writing, petitioning hasn't worked. Doing even direct action as climate defense, I think, is important, but hasn't worked. That we need to go on the offense. We need to ask for aggressive change. We get to net zero emissions by 2025. And that we need to have a popular brand and a regenerative culture to get there as well. So a lot of the different concepts there, but we need a mass movement of disruption and to wake the population up, wake the public up, wake business as usual up and say, it's no longer business as usual. Here's your notice.
Now, we were both down at the New York City event, and more events are taking place this week, and there's a sort of Extinction Rebellion camp at Washington Square Park. But this is actually just a small part of a much larger worldwide event, started initially in England. What were some of the, highlights of the ongoing worldwide protests this week with Extinction Rebellion?
Totally. Well, France in Paris started a little early. They had a great video clip, different tripod actions, they've previously been pepper sprayed. I don't know if that's happened recently. London, the police decided to escalate to preemptive arrests. Roger Halm and other leaders were arrested before October 7th, and a warehouse was raided. So can only imagine all the actions that didn't get to happen and all the beautiful art that we didn't get to see that was raided from their huge warehouse. I guess the downside of having the money for a centralized location is that it's centralized, easy to escape. But this is a global movement, as you said, and there are cities all around the world, from London, Paris, Berlin, Madrid, Sydney, and New York here. We've been out in Washington Square Park, and it's really great to see people coming through, people, NYU students and just New Yorkers and actors and just everybody of all ages and races and so forth.
You mentioned the issue of art, and I'm going to admit, since I was dead, I didn't really get to see everything, but I saw all these colorful people dressed in red, performing various ceremonies above me, and art does seem to be a big part of the Extinction Rebellion experience.
Certainly. I think it really is. That's that was the Red Brigade, or the Red Rebel Brigade, that you're seeing there. So there's female identifying women who are just really visually stunning, and they move slowly, and they were moving through our die-in, so it had a whole other aspect to our die-in to have them there, and they're sometimes placing chestnut flowers on people and so forth. As you said, it was a really moving period. So That's just one example of where art, really takes a shine to, takes it to the next level of what we do, as we try to do, keep to our first demand of telling the truth. And how do we tell the truth about something that is such a cataclysmic, mind-numbing and mind-exploding crisis that we have here? how do we tell the truth about that? I mean, it needs art. I think we've done, and the Red Brigade is one really great example of that, of how we can show the level of the calamity and speak to our emotions. And then that goes along with the disruption. I think those are two really key aspects of what make Extinction Rebellion protest, actions great. And, none of this is new, but it's, people, it's standing on the shoulders of the giants that have come before us in direct action and the climate movement. But it's been put together in a way that's just really well branded and something that sticks because it's spreading. I've never seen a brand that has spread faster or that is more apt to spread or that people are eager for than Extinction Rebellion. I've been organizing the climate emerging movement since 2014.
I will say Occupy Wall Street did sort of spread like a wildfire, at least across the United States. I don't know how big it went worldwide. But one of the theories, however, with Extinction Rebellion is that, based on an analysis of previous efforts to fundamental change, that, nonviolent direct action seems to be most effective. You need to get about 3% of the population to join us. That's sort of the target. We, had a couple hundred people who at least did a direct action, need about 250 if you take 3% of New York City, which is sort of equivalent to the number of people who'd been there the prior week, September 20th, on the student climate strike. So how is Extinction Rebellion going from moving from that a couple hundred to the couple hundred thousand that we need in New York City, or 3%, everywhere?
Certainly. So I do want to say, Occupy wasn't climate specific in terms of my last answer, that I was saying that it's the fastest growing, is the most popular climate brand I've ever seen up until the youth strikes and the youth march and Fridays for Future and so forth. Those, I think, surpassed it, but they've definitely worked in tandem. So in terms of how we get to the 3.5% that Erica Chenoweth talks about, that no nonviolent movement has ever failed to reach its demands, if they have that, first of all, important to remember that you're not required. The movements have succeeded before they've gotten to the 3.5% mark. So it's not saying that you're required to have that. You're never going to get your demands unless you have 3.5% out there in the streets. But no movement has ever failed if they've had the 3.5%. So of course we want to get to that. And as you mentioned, in New York City we had about that. We had some 250,000 people or so at that youth strike. So, I think that's a lot of people power there. We've been growing fast. I think, that our actions in general tend to be what grows Extinction Rebellion in New York City, at least. We've seen that we get spikes of people after and before actions. People are really motivated by the specific date and time to show up and what they see at the action. They're inspired by it. And that's part of the theory of change, is that we're showing that we're in emergency mode, that we're not just going about our business as usual, that we are grandmothers and we are high school students and we are teenagers, and that we're willing to sacrifice our freedoms. So we do, and we have neighborhood groups that are popping up as well. So you can check out on the website. It's xrebellion.nyc, by the way. And there's also, there are also local groups in all parts of New York State. And
we have a quite active Extinction Rebellion here in the Capital District, and quite a few of us get arrested.
Exactly. If you are in New York City, then there's you can check out the neighborhood groups there. So, and then, once you guys are, or y'all are, get extremely structured, you can get the sections of the Capital Region, right? And where the whole idea behind Extinction Rebellion is that it's a fractal movement, that you always are creating substructures and substructures that they can go on their own. And then you don't have to go walk all the way up the bureaucracy to get something done. You're not going to be held up by a spokes council, all right, that you have to get control over. If you're doing actions within the principles and you're trained and so forth, then you can you can vote with your feet and people can take action as long as it's within the principles.
Well, Greg Swadok from Extinction Rebellion New York City, thank you very much both for joining us here, Hudson Mohawk Radio Network, but also your continued leadership and action to demand action on climate. Thank you very much.